B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five seconds frozen on the clock. The Patriots with a 13-3 lead over the Rams. Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee. And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won three of four. Now they have won three of the last five. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
There's a nice little tribute from Bob Soucy to Gil Santos as the Patriots take down the Rams 13-3 last night in Atlanta. Scott Zolak was on the call alongside Bob Soucy. Beadle was doing post-game late into the night, which means good things and bad things. You are stuck with me today, Adam Jones. But even I won't be able to bring the people down today because alongside is the great Ted Johnson, three-time Super Bowl champion. What's up, Ted?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man? I'm excited to work with you. I'll just get the ball washing out of the way early.
Are you, though?
Huge fan. I listen to you almost, you and Christian, all the time. I love y'all's show. I've been coming back and forth.
It's a good show. It's a strong show.
It's an awesome show. Okay, I mean you have an uncanny ability to create arguments and takes that just you don't think there's any way you can create a take like that, and you do, and you sell it, and it's awesome. And so I'm a big fan, and I will say this, and then I'll be done with the ball washing. The intro to your show, best of any.
Very controversial because I know Hardy hates it.
Oh, I love the intro to the Adam Jones show. It's one of my favorites.
I love the first 4 minutes of it. It's the last 4 minutes that I think it gets a little tedious.
Will there be
an actual radio program tonight? It's like the wedding scene to open the Deer Hunter. When do we actually get to the story?
I can't get enough of it. Get enough of this intro, man.
It was a little bit like that football game last night, wasn't it? It was just dragging on and on. It's like, will somebody score, please? So anyway, we'll be taking your phone calls all day long. 617-779-0985. Zoe and Beadle, Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, and Hardy here as we take you up until 2 o'clock. What'd you think of last night, Ted? Another Super Bowl.
Yeah. So my take on this game, Adam, was that the Patriots, I said, this is what's going to happen. The Patriots are going to have the most comfortable win they've had of all the championships up to this point. It's going to be the biggest margin of victory that they are ever going to have of all the championships. I predicted a score, though, Adam, of 35-20.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, I was just a little off on my score prediction, but at the end of the day, yeah, I picked the Patriots to win, and I thought this would be the biggest margin of it, and it was 10 points. My gosh,
I thought nobody picked them to win. That's weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, according to Tom and Bill and all the other guys and all the big names on defense, nobody was believing in them.
I could have sworn everyone picked the Rams. That's weird.
Go ahead, Hardy.
No, they're still here, which most people had counted the Patriots out. So there's no way this team could do it again.
Nope, still here. Yeah. Three Super Bowls in a row.
I thought it was a damn good performance because nothing came easy in that game. Nothing came easy for that offense. They had to, at the end of the day, I mean, it wasn't pretty aesthetically for the fans to watch. I get that. But the way that they, and this is what they had to do, Adam, and it's so boring. They had to run the football. They had to just, jab, 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 body blow, body blow, body blow, so that it would pay dividends later in the game, and it did. You just saw the Rams kind of run out of gas there at the end. And so the way that they ran the football, they've been running the football so well all season long. That old school two back, James Devlin, they brought in two tight ends when James Devlin wasn't in there to do a lot of power running. And that's how you neutralize those guys. What were we saying about this defensive line for the Rams? Oh, Dominican Sue, they're going to double team Aaron Donald. So Dominican Sue is going to have this big game. No, he wasn't. Like, this team always neutralizes a really good pass rush. They have game plans for that. They run powers. They run at you. They get the ball out fast. And so I wasn't really that concerned about it. And they limited their productivity. And then the defense, I got to tip the cap. This defense, I've been critical of this defense all season long, Adam.
Same.
And it just, there were times this season when I watched this defense, and I was almost embarrassed for them. Like, I didn't see a lot of effort. I didn't see a desire. I didn't see guys playing with a lot of heart. But, man, the last three games, you can go in even into the end of the regular season. I've been making this argument, Adam, that the last two games, Buffalo Bills and the Jets, cupcakes. I get it. Are you kidding me? Glorified scrimmages. I get it. Something clicked for that defense in that Buffalo game. Something clicked for that offense in that Jets game. And they carried that momentum into the playoffs and ultimately won the whole thing.
So I want to pick up on a few things. I mean, you mentioned the disappointment in the defense. What changed there? I want to get to just Jared Goff. What were they doing to screw with him? And obviously, you'll have some good insight on that. Tom Brady, you know, the longevity is some of this this dynasty, his career, Gronk's career, all of it. But I also want Hardy's thoughts here. Hardy, I know you were doing the highly rated post game with Andy Hart, Paul Perillo last night, right? You were deep into the wee hours of the night.
No, if you will recall, there is no pre and post for Patriots.
Oh, they don't
for the Super Bowl.
See when I was there, they didn't make a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
See what coincidence?
Every preseason game of the Super Bowl. Now we got other stuff to do.
So you didn't have to do. I was going to say. I was about to make a big joke about how well Beatles doing post game. Hardy's here. Beatles not here.
Oh, no.
You were absolved of any post game.
I was
post game coverage last night. So what was your big takeaway from the game?
I mean, honestly, the game itself, and you know, Ted said it here with Touch and Rich, aesthetically, not pleasing to watch. Now, if you say this out loud or on Twitter immediately, you're just subjected to the rants and the punishment from all the hardos who say it was a defensive chess match. Like, well, wait a second. You had two mediocre defenses, you know, below average in a lot of statistical categories. Talented guys, Donald, Sue, I get it. And for on the Patriots side of the ball, I think Trey Flowers, is going to be a good player in this league for years to come. Gilmore, certainly. But the defensive units as a whole were not good enough to warrant what happened in that game last night. So what does that tell me? As I'm watching them, I'm like, these offenses aren't executing. They can't figure it out. Now, whether, you know, McDaniels was outcoached on his side of the ball or whether Brian Flores was just doing an amazing job, the result was a couple of top-tier offenses performing at a below-average level and a couple of average defenses performing at a top-tier level. You know, had it been like two great defenses all season long and nobody can gain ground, yes, I get it. That, to me, would have been like a better game to just sit there and watch and be entertained by. But to me, it was really just the offenses not executing for most of the game.
You agree with that, Ted?
Here's the only thing I would say to that. If you look at the stats, you look at the what this defense did all season long, it was bad. This was an average to below average defense all season long. But here's the thing. They did something this year that they've never done in the history of Brady and Belichick is they flipped a switch. They flipped the switch. And so, yeah, you can look at their regular season stats, and they were average in so many different games. Red zone, third down, rush defense, pass defense, all average to below average all season long. But they were playing as good as any football team was when they entered the playoffs. And so you can look at the regular season stats and say that they were a below average team. But this defense figured something out, and it became an elite defense right at the right time. And I also would say this about the Rams. Average defense for most of the season too. But they kind of turned it on against Dallas, against the Saints. And they had a good performance yesterday for three quarters. And so it just seems like both teams hit the switch and all of a sudden they started playing up to their abilities. You're right. The overall kind of season for both teams, very uninspiring, not impressive at all. But both defensive units for the Rams and for the Patriots really started clicking in the playoffs game.
Yeah, they did, and they played well last night. But offensively, I mean, this is what this team was built on. Nobody, you know, there wasn't a lot of talk about the Patriots' defense going into this game. It's all about, you know, is Brady and Edelman and Gronkowski, they're all healthy, they're going to go out there. For big chunks of this game, the story to me was this was pre-switch-flip Patriots offense. You know, Hogan getting targeted four,
six
five,
times.
Six
yeah.
times,
yeah.
not being able to catch the ball. You know, the... a lot of times the running game getting stymied when it had been successful before. Now, Sony Michel had a fantastic game, and you could make a case for a handful of guys actually being the MVP, which tells me there wasn't really one standout performer. Edelman was fantastic. I thought Michel was fantastic.
Gronk.
Gronk was great.
Gronkowski was really, really good. But to me, the MVP of this game was the defense. And they can't give it to the defense. So what you go away with is a game that, yeah, it was a Patriots win. It was fantastic. But just in a standalone, in a vacuum, take your Patriots fandom out of it watching the game, I didn't find it to be a great football game to watch. And honestly, anybody who's going to argue differently today, and we're going to have people trying to argue differently, and that's why I said I can't wait to hear what Ted has to say about this. As a defensive player in the league, was that a great game to watch?
No, the game stunk. The game stunk.
Well, I don't know.
Great result for the Patriots, but the game stunk.
Can I say it like this? It was aesthetically not a fun game to watch, but can I appreciate the way the game unfolded and how it played out?
The missed field goals.
I can appreciate
the fourth down stuff.
Okay, I hear
Brady interception.
But you have to play
balls
good
in the turf.
You have to play really good defense.
16 combined points.
Okay, there were some unforced errors by Tom in this game, and he did not play well. But I also want to give credit to the Rams defense for making him uncomfortable
That's
at times. Yeah. They mixed up coverage. That first interception the ball was intended for Hogan, got six targets, and one interception was a result. It was because Wade Phillips put together a pretty damn good game plan. You got to give him credit for the game plan he put together for that first half especially. He had Tom confused. That ball went out to the flat to Hogan. He kind of, you could almost see it. It was kind of like as he's throwing it, he's almost like, oh, like he almost wanted to pull the ball back because it looked like man-to-man. They went to zone. And that's how you, the formula for beating Tom is to mix up your coverages. You can't play one coverage more than the other. And that, you know what always happens? It's in Wade Phillips' nature. Then when it gets tight and you go back to doing what you are comfortable doing is man-to-man. They played a lot of man-to-man in that second half, and the Patriots made them pay.
Was that a mistake tactically in a game where teams are known to wear out because of the length of the day and the length of the week to switch to man-to-man late in the game? Would they have been better off saving some of their zone looks for later in the game when you need the legs and you need the lungs and you're starting to get tired?
You know what? That's interesting. I would think so, but Wade Phillips has been a man-to-man guy since his daddy, Bum, was coaching for the Houston Oilers. It's just in his nature. He can't help it. He loves to run man-to-man, regardless of that part of it.
How tired the players might be.
Right. Yeah. And so whenever you have Rams defenders chasing guys all around, you got to cover Marcus Peters. Oh, my gosh. Aqib Talib, Nickel Roby, trying to cover Julian Edelman man-to-man without any help. You don't have somebody help you, so your leverage has to be kind of, you have to be able to play both sides. And Julian Edelman was running those option routes. He could go right, he could go left, and as a defensive guy, you're like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of space to fill. They didn't have an answer for that, and they kept playing man-to-man with him. Later in the game, they started double-teaming him, and then who was getting the ball a little bit later in the game? Gronk was getting the ball more later in the game, so the Patriots made adjustments to their adjustments.
So there's a lot to get to from this game, obviously. And again, it's a great result. Like, no one's saying it's not a great result for the Patriots. The game was a tough watch. I think we can all admit that. Maybe some of you prefer that to the offensive explosion that was the NFL this year. We'll get into the longevity, how much longer Brady can do it for, how much longer Gronk can do it for, how much longer Brady will do it for, some legacy stuff. You know, how does this team stack up with other Super Bowl teams, including the ones that Ted played on? And, of course, some of the Rams' struggles in that game as well. How much of that was due to the Rams being unprepared? How much of that was due to what the Patriots were doing? 617-779-0985. We want to hear a lot from you guys today. We'll let you get out all your thoughts. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, and Hardy in for Zoe and Beadle here on the Sports Hub.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beadle. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down.
That's a good defensive play.
And 10. It was a guy who wore number 21 for the Patriots with a saving interception in an end zone to our right several Super Bowls ago.
Oh,
now
here.
Goff with three to the left. Takes the snap. Harmon on a blitz. Goff throws it to the right. Gilmore's there. Intercepted at the 4. Harmon! Hardman forced the pick, and Gilmore comes up with it. His second of the postseason.
What a call.
And possession of the Patriots.
What a call by Brian Flores. Pressure on number 16. You knew the kid was going to crack, and he did there. And what a play by Gilmore.
It's pretty much the game right there. Stephon Gilmore, his interception seals it. Daron Harmon with the pressure.
What a call that was, Adam.
Jared Goff with another duck. What, Zoe's call or the what they dialed up on defense?
What they dialed up on defense. Zoe leaves it out on the field every time when he does a game. I love listening to Zoe. But that call, man, that was the first time, I think, Hardy and Adam, that they dialed up the cover zero, also known as the casino blitz, the all-out blitz.
Yeah, you don't need to explain this to Hardy. Okay, We know the casino blitz.
We don't need to dumb it down for me and Adam.
We were talking casino blitzes in the preseason, if I remember correctly.
Fair enough.
Sorry about that. So it was a ballsy call. It was on second down and long, I believe. Usually the exotic blitzes come on third down, but Brian Flores. I'd be curious if he made the call, if it was built, doesn't matter. He'll get the credit. Brian Flores should get the credit for it. The call was perfect. Goff was threw off his back leg, kind of slipped a little bit, thrown back, and that was an easy, easy interception by Stephon Gilmore. But and he had a tough cover all day. I mean, it looked like he was on Brandon Cooks for most of the day.
He was.
And even though Brandon Cooks got his longest reception, I think, was 24 yards, so they were able to kind of minimize the big play impact from Brandon Cooks.
Were you surprised at that it was Gilmore on Cooks? Because I was. I thought Gilmore was going to get Woods, and they ended up double-teaming Woods for most of the game. Yeah. They ended up leaving Gilmore on Cooks for most of the game. I was surprised that's what they did.
Yeah, I wasn't. I feel like, I mean, Stephon Gilmore is the all-pro. He's the best cover guy for this team.
But he didn't get Hill.
He didn't get
Tyreek Hill against Kansas City.
You're right. Yeah, you know what? That's a good call. That's a really good call. But they double-teamed Tyreek Hill a lot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they single-covered Brandon Cooks a lot with Stephon Gilmore. Even though Brandon Cooks, you know, again, I said, I think he had 140 yards. He wasn't as impactful as he could. And let's face it, there was two plays. Two plays that really stand out when it comes to Brandon Cooks. And it was the Jason McCourty pass defense in the back of the end zone when he was wide open.
Wide open.
Jared Goff, you talk about a guy, and you said as much in your email. I mean, you talk about a guy that peed down his leg.
What was the quote before the game, Hardy, that Giardi had? It was, we're pretty sure he's going to crap his pants or whatever
it was.
Goff?
Yes.
Well, whatever player said that, my money's on Van Noy, but I don't know who it was. Whatever player said that, it's the most accurate prediction of the week.
Yeah.
That guy was the most, out of all the predictions around the Super Bowl, whoever said they were going to get Jared Goff to poop his pants, that person was the most right.
You know where he was screwed? You know where Jared Goff was screwed? And you could say, okay, this is not going to be, we all kind of knew he wasn't going to be ready for the big time, maybe in this situation. But where I kind of knew this, you're screwed, bro, is when they couldn't run the football. This offense.
Could they not run it, or did they just not try?
They tried early and it didn't have a lot of success, and they should have kept trying later in the game. But this is what teams do. They get nervous.
Yeah.
They ditch their game plan. Even though it was like a one score game for most of the game, they start to get nervous, and all of a sudden you're seeing more dropbacks. That's not Jared Goff's thing. But if you can't run the football, this is a smoke and mirrors offense. It's kind of like quarterbacking for dummies to some degree, not to, you know, totally kill the kid. But it's all based off of run and play action. So if your running game isn't working, then the play action is non-existent. And so whenever you see him do those boots, those half boots, nobody was getting fooled by it. So he wasn't effective in the play action game. And so if you don't have the running game to set up the play action, you're not going to have a good performance from Jared Goff.
No. And look, they had it dialed up. And we'll get to your phone calls here in a moment. 617-779-0985. There's a lot of you waiting patiently. I do just want to say this because people, I'm sure, want to hear it. Oh, Jones, you were so wrong. Good call. They won't get to the AFC Championship game. They won't win the Super Bowl. I was wrong about all of it. Like, I did not think what the Patriots did last night, or really even the week before for a half against Kansas City, I never thought the defense was capable of that. I didn't think Brady was capable of throws in a big spot. I'm not telling you that Brady was great in that game last night. I don't think he was.
He wasn't.
I don't think he was great against Kansas City. But when they needed plays, when they had to have them, third and tens in overtime. The throw to Gronk that set up the Michelle touchdown last night. Really, that whole drive that set up the Michelle touchdown. Brady was great when they had to have it. I was wrong about that. I didn't think Gronk could have a throwback game, right? I didn't think that this team could gel and all get on the same page. So I was wrong about all of it. And the one thing that I do like, and I think dovetails together nicely with this whole thing. You were there in 2001. Mm-hmm. It was against the Rams. It was a team that, and I don't know how you feel about this commentary. You probably hear it a lot. I'd probably bristle at it if I were on the team. But maybe it wasn't the most talented of the run of the dynasty. I think this team fits into that a little bit as well. Not saying it's not a talented team, just compared to 2014 or 2016 in this installment, or 2003 and 2004. Yeah. No, for 2001, I'm saying.
Yeah,
I don't know how this team or 01 stacks up with those teams, but it's almost like, what's the saying, Hardy, where we start out as babies, and then when we get old, we kind of turn back into our younger selves or whatever it is.
That, you nailed it.
A little wordy.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little wordy, but, you know, basically that's the dynasty.
Full
almost,
circle.
Yeah.
Full
and if,
circle,
yeah. If it's over, I'm not saying it's over. I'm not shoveling dirt on the dynasty. Wrong again, Jones, saying the dynasty's over one day after the Super Bowl. It's not what I'm saying. Just if this is how it ends, it all fits together nicely. It all tucks away nicely back to where it began.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it's going to end. That's the scary part. That's like, guys, I just buckle up. I don't think this ride's going to be over anytime soon. But I'm curious, because I feel like a little bit, Adam, when you talk about, you know, just having skepticism, not really buying into this team. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of that, I think, was kind of based on how the season ended last year.
Yeah,
and then
for
the
sure.
off season.
Yeah.
I mean, you that Seth Wickersham article.
From Wickersham
was
to
like,
Brady
what
not showing
is going
up.
On? I'm sitting there in
to
Houston.
Bill giving him field trips over to Fenway Park. To the Lions and the Jaguars, like there's a lot of places where I jumped off the bandwagon for this team, and there's a lot of places I was wrong. But yes, it went way back. It wasn't just like, oh, they lost to the Steelers, I'm out. I was way off before it even started.
Yeah. So, but I get it. I get it. I've never seen an off season. Let's face it. I've never seen a Super Bowl like that last year against the Eagles when they Malcolm Butler. I just was like, Bill, in the biggest game, you're going to be petty in the biggest game in front of everybody. And then it's going to cost you, bro. This is going to haunt you. And it haunted him. Because after this game, yes, last night, you heard Bill Belichick talking about nobody believed in us. Everybody counted us out. Well, it was because of your decision with Malcolm Butler that there was a cloud over this team all season long. They couldn't get out of their own way for most of the season. They were disengaged. Hell, guys didn't even want to show up for OTAs. And so they used – Bill was able to motivate his team – to get everybody kind of galvanized together. Off his own mistake. Yeah. Pretty brilliant on his part. You know, pretty brilliant. But I will say this. I totally agree with you. I've never seen an offseason. I've never seen the information that was coming out of that article that was going on behind the scenes. I was in shock. I've never heard of anything like that. And I thought it was going to be the beginning of the end too, man. I really did. And then these boys, all of a sudden, they saw what was in front of them. Hell, we can get a first-round bye. We got two cupcakes at home, two get-right games. We get to rest after that. And then, oh, we get the Chargers, a better team on paper than us. But they just played a very physical game against the Baltimore Ravens the week before, and they got to go from west to east, two times in 2 weeks. We got this. And they feasted on the Chargers, and that went over the Chargers. They thought they were winning the whole thing right after that Chargers game. It all set up perfectly for them to kind of have this sleepwalk through the whole year and then realize, you know what, guys? After getting your asses kicked by Pittsburgh and just looking terrible, you know what? Let's refocus. Let's recalibrate here. Let's look what's in front of us and go, whew, we can go do this. And they did. They went out and they took it, man.
The only thing that I can, you know, claim victory on, and it was obviously what a lot of people thought was, when they went on the road to Kansas City before that game, I said, well, if they can beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, then the switch has been completely flipped now, and they've finally figured out enough to know to where no matter who they play, the Rams or the Saints, they'll win the Super Bowl. And that, you know, that ended up coming true, certainly not in the manner that I thought it would happen. And I didn't think it would happen either. And for me, Yeah, I was one of those guys after looking at those Dolphins, at the back-to-back losses in Miami and in Pittsburgh. I'm like, this team isn't going to win the Super Bowl this year. But in terms of predicting the demise of Tom Brady, I got out of that business 4.5 years ago.
No, I'm still I'm still in it.
2014, that Chiefs game.
I'm still in it. He wasn't great last night. I'm still in it.
I said 14, they're over. They're going to win the Super Bowl that year. And I said, that's it. I will no longer predict the demise of Tom Brady. Until I'm shown otherwise, and to like the whole thing that set this up, it's like, oh, it might continue. Of course it's going to continue. Are Brady and Belichick coming back? There's no reason not to pick them right now to at least make the AFC championship again next year.
You know what's interesting, guys? We've always used the regular season as a kind of a barometer to what's going to happen in the playoffs. We have it's what we do, right? And so, and usually that's a good way to kind of do it.
Yep.
But from this point on, let's just say they kind of have regular seasons where it's just kind of not that, but we all know now that they have the ability to hit that switch.
It's LeBron. It's the NBA now. It's like, you know, and I'm sure, I'll be plenty critical in the regular season. I have a feeling I will be whenever they lose, if they lose. But yeah, I kind of have that opinion too, where now it's like, and I don't know that they can do it all the time, but now that they've flipped that switch once, it's the NBA. It's LeBron. It's like, okay, they're 9-7. Oh, well, they can go on a run. Not that they'll probably ever go 9-7, but I agree with that point.
I think you're too hard on yourself. You were okay after that Dolphins loss, weren't you? I mean, you weren't insufferable.
I think I was fair. I think I was,
to borrow from Tony Maz, in that moment after that game, it's not that your take was bad. You were being a fundamentally bad person.
Yeah.
That's what was wrong with you on that
I
night.
Probably wasn't being my best self there. That's true. 617-779-0985. You're welcome to call and yell at me. You're welcome to call and relive the game here. I promise we're going to get to your phone call. 617-779-0985. We've been blabbing away. We will get to you after the headlines here from Hardy.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots are Super Bowl champions once again, 13-3, the final from Atlanta, where they beat the LA Rams. A lot of records set in this game, many of them Tom Brady related. Most Super Bowl games, Tom Brady with 9. Most games on the winning team, Tom Brady with 6. Oldest starting quarterback on the winning team, Tom Brady at the age of 41. But all of it was in doubt when the team went into the locker room at a halftime. Tom?
We just couldn't make the big play, and we couldn't stay on the field on third down. And we just knew we had a whole half to go, and the defense set the tone. They held them. We got some good field position for them. You know, they held them, and finally the kind of broke through a little bit in the fourth quarter, which was good. We needed that.
Brady finished the game 21 of 35 on his pass attempts for 262 yards. No touchdown passes, one interception. Julian Edelman, the MVP. The parade is tomorrow. Bruins flipped a switch of their own. Beat the Capitals yesterday, 1-0. They'll be home to play the Islanders tomorrow night. Celtics over the Thunder, 134-129. Tomorrow they will visit the Cavaliers. Headlines are brought to you by Dr. Mark Lowney at Studio Eros. Book now for testosterone optimization and Gainswave to increase blood flow for better sex and more energy. Results may vary. 855-509-3767 or studioeros.net. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Zone and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Zone and Beatle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ball rests on the left hash mark. Rock will line up left. Waddle checks in to the right. Allen to the right. From the eye, Michelle the tailback. Behind Devlin, Brady under center. Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. Michelle for 6.
That's the offense I know. That's the offense we love. I told you, it could be 3 strange quarters if we haven't seen this quarterback play in a while. But it's fourth quarter and it's money time for the greatest guy to ever suit it up.
Keep on.
See, now a lesser man would take a victory lap on Sony Michel here. I'm going to wait until closer to 2 o'clock.
Any reason for waiting until that time?
I'm going to wait until closer to 2 o'clock.
Okay. All right.
To really go all in on my Sony Michel take.
Okay. Well, I don't know why you wouldn't do it now unless there's, you know, different people listening or around you closer to two.
Yeah, no, it's just, I you know, there's I don't need to take any victory laps now. I was wrong about the Patriots all year long. I was wrong about the Tom Brady. I was wrong about Gronk. I've been wrong about a lot of things. So we'll save that one. It's a little closer to two. Don't you worry about it, though. Okay. Sony Michel, pretty good in that game last night. By the way, if you want to win something here, today is a good place to be listening to Zoan Beadle. It's Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, and Hardy in for the guys. But we're still giving stuff away. How about a $100 gift card to the Under Armour brand house there, Ted Johnson? That sounds like a good one. I see you got some Under Armour attire on there. I saw some shoes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I'm a big Under Armour guy, you know, because it fit, you know, like fits you tight. Get you, you know, your vascularity
fits
showing.
Fits you tight. It's a little loose on me. But yeah.
Well, I like it.
It's, yes, I'm a Nike guy, Under Armour guy. It's about the only two things I'll wear.
So $100 to the Under Armour brand house. Again, that'll be coming up about 15 minutes from now. As promised, I want to get to your phone calls, including on Sony Michel, 617-779-0985. How's about Tom in Holliston? Get us started here today, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on.
You bet.
So, about Sony Michel, I mean, what a great first year for this guy. I mean, I didn't, like, coming, like, him drafting from the 31st pick, I didn't think would have such a great first year. You know, I think it would just be more of a supplemental piece for the offense. I didn't figure he would be turned into a focal point, don't you agree?
So, Ted, how important do you think he was to this offense?
I think he was big. I was a huge fan of him coming out of Georgia. The kid's got a dynamic piece to him. I just love his running style and how he gets to the hole fast and is explosive through the hole. I get it. Look, it's you can say like any, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts can run through those holes. Okay, I guess, but Sony Michel got stronger as the season went on. He was running harder. He was running with more confidence. I thought he was excellent. The only thing that Sony Michel needs to do is what? He needs to learn how to catch the ball a little bit better. He had a drop last night on a check down. The only thing about Sony Michel, they bring him in, it's very predictable. I mean, you might as well. Sony Michel's in the game. Everybody, so they're going to run the ball. I mean, there was some play action out of that, but they didn't throw to him at all. He was very much a one-dimensional player. But okay, that's fine. And he basically, you know, they started at the beginning of the season, Adam. They really basically only put him out there with James Devlin. And so it's basically like, follow James, and he'll take you where you want to go. And there was just massive holes. The offensive line did a phenomenal job. But then they started kind of going away with that, and you saw him in there more in one-back sets. And he was doing a good job of finding the creases. I thought the kid was outstanding. I know he's just a running back, but I come from an era when I played in a conference. I'm aging myself, called the Big Eight, and I always said
Big Eight.
The Big Eight. And I didn't know what a forward pass was until Chad May came to Kansas State, and I'm like, whoa, what is that? Right. So the point is, I can appreciate a really good running game, and this was a very good running game. And like you've mentioned to me, Adam, this is, as Tom gets older, this is what you need to do. You need to have more of a balanced offense. I mean, that's kind of what Saints started.
And you know, there's no Ted Johnson at linebacker on the Rams last night. It's 228-pound Corey Littleton, and it's Mark Barron who's a safety. So that's the way the NFL, it's a different game. That's the way the NFL's played now. And, you know, to counteract some of the speed that's on the field for the Rams or other defenses, you run them over. That's what the Patriots did. That's what they did. They ran their way to a Super Bowl. And last night, the passing game, I think, was a bigger factor than certainly San Diego or Kansas City. But if you take a step back and you look at how this team transitioned offensively, they were a run-first offense, and they were able to win a Super Bowl that way.
I would say this, Adam, so many times during the season, that what sparked this offense was the running game.
I think a big reason they only scored three in the first half is they didn't run it enough. I don't think the Rams ran it enough last night with Gurley. Maybe he's not healthy. They're still denying it. I can't imagine he's healthy. Mm-hmm. I think a big reason they struggled on offense and a reason they found themselves a tiny bit in the second half for a drive anyways is because they started running. And I know the only run on that game-winning drive was Michel punching it in. But I think at least the Rams had to start thinking about what the Patriots were doing on the ground earlier in that half. They didn't run it enough in the first half. I think that was a problem. I think that's why they scored three. Yep. They asked too much out of the 41-year-old Brady.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so this is a passing league, right? We get it. I think the points scored was the most in NFL history. The most pass attempts was this year in the history of the NFL. So we know it's a passing league. But isn't it funny how when the playoffs come around, the running game was front and center and was the basically the foundation for these wins was the running game. I mean, and so, but the run, it really, when you have great pass rushing teams, and I would say between the Chargers, between the Chiefs, and between the Rams, all have really good pass rushers.
Yeah.
And so how do you neutralize a great pass rush team? Run at them. Run at it. It's not fun. It's not sexy, okay? It doesn't, you know, I know it's a kind of a thing of the past, but when it really mattered, when you had to have a win and you're going against great pass rush teams, the running game is very important. And they, in the first play from scrimmage, what was it? A wham play. Dominican Sue, they let him go upfield. James Devlin gets hammered. I mean, Sue hit him hard, but he made the block. First play of the game, Sony Michel runs off, like, peels off 13 yards, and I think that set the tone like it did in the Chargers game and like it did against the Chiefs. They had really good rushing, the football at the beginning of those games, and that set the tone for later.
Let's go to Patrick here in Quincy. You're next up. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Ted, my question for you is, what do you think the Patriots did at halftime to get the Rams offense from never to stop the Rams from ever getting off the ground? Thank you, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
You know, this is it was a great game plan by Bill, but this is what you had to do to stop the Rams. You had to mix up your coverages. You can't play the Patriots are more of a man team than they've ever been, and this year is no different. When I was playing for the Patriots in the early 2000s, we were primarily a zone team, in particular cover two. And then 34 cover two, Adam, was what we called a lot. So we like to run a lot of zone. Most teams don't like to run zone as much anymore because a lot of players have a hard time because they don't play it as much in college. They play more man-to-man in college.
Like Gilmore, for instance, struggles in zone normally, right?
And so there's
– not last night, but normally.
Right. But the Patriots historically have been phenomenal zone defenses. And so with all the twist and all the pick plays and all the things that they do, all the bunches that they do – and to get guys confused versus man-to-man. They just kind of go, okay, you can crisscross and you can pick all you want. We're playing zone. And they didn't have to be chasing guys across the field. There's a lot of, again, so many boot plays where guys are crossing the field. And if you're playing a ton of man-to-man, you're going to wear yourself out. They're going to beat you. They mixed in a lot of zone so that they know they're a very good zone team and particularly played a lot of cover two. So that Brandon Cooks could not beat them deep. There was always two safeties deep for most of the game. It was very much of the same game plan. I've mentioned this before in the past that we used to go against the Colts. All right. The way we were so good against the Colts, Adam, is that we played two safeties deep. When you can play two safeties deep, it allows your corner. So to go up and jam and be physical, knowing you have help, it's like a guy in basketball. If you can get up there and play defense tight, knowing you got somebody waiting for you at the hoop to block the shot.
There's no window.
You're right. And so that's what they're able to do, but you have to do one thing. If you're going to play a lot of two deep man, like the Patriots did last night to kind of make sure that Brandon Cooks didn't get his, you got to stop the run with seven guys. If you don't stop the run with seven guys, you got to bring another safety down to make eight in the box. And then if you have to do that, that's when they go to work on the edges and deep. And they weren't able to run the ball when the Patriots had seven guys in the box.
So let's pick up on this. How much of it was the Patriots game plan? How much of it was the Rams not ready for prime time? We will get to that with your phone calls. And $100 gifty to the Under Armour brand house coming up next.
Scott Zola, Mark Bertrand, Zo and the Beatle. Zo and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
We're coming up on 11 o'clock. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zo and Bertrand. Adam Jones, Ted Johnson, and Hardy taking you up until 2 o'clock the day after the Patriots capture their sixth Lombardi Trophy. And just because Zoe and Beadle aren't here doesn't mean we can't give something away, Ted.
Damn right. Let's give it away.
Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You get $100 Under Armour Brand House gift card to celebrate ring number six. Grab your UA rally cards and championship gear before the parade
while supplies last. Again, caller 10 right now to the Prime Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. $100 giftie to the Under Armour brand house, which will be right there on Boylston Street when the parade's rolling by. Where were you? You guys were... Well, one of them was at City Hall, right? Where were your parades? Where were your rallies?
They were all at City Hall. The first two were.
Okay.
I can't remember if the third one was, but I remember the first two were. And I was amazed, you guys. So, 01, when we beat the Rams, it was a very cold day, if I remember correctly, the day we had our parade. And it was amazing. I think it was Boylston that we went down. And it was like 15, 20 people deep. Like, you'd go on all the side streets, and you just look down the side streets, 20 people deep down there. And it was amazing. And you know what? I picked a good duck boat to be on that day.
Oh, yeah?
Adam. Yeah. I was on Tommy's boat.
Oh, nice.
And being on Tommy's boat has its advantages.
Like what?
Eh.
Lots of all the avocado ice cream you can eat.
No, that was before he started getting on the avocado train. It was just, there's a lot of the ladies like to show Tommy. You know, what they're bringing to the party.
Their support.
You look up into the windows.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, this is great.
I wouldn't avert my eyes. I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah. I was just like, it's
depends.
Good to be
it
king.
Depends on what time of day, please.
If I was on
there
another boat.
There are children out there, please.
Right. Yeah. But up in these office buildings, you know, I think when no one's around in their cubicle, they was like, this is outstanding. I love the...
Put them on a glass.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Oh, right up on the glass. Outstanding. Outstanding.
Like the girl after the Capitals won last year, like that, just right up against the glass.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So I'm not, look, I'm sure that
which,
maybe
which,
other
by the
boats
way, ladies,
got to see that.
But. Not always a great look. It's distorted.
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes
to
it's
really
fine.
Really
smush
them up there
a little bit. You got to be careful. You got to be careful with that.
Hardy giving ladies, tips on how to do that. And how to take their tops off. I got you, buddy.
I'm glad you got on Brady's duck boat, though.
So I got lucky. But it was...
Could you not see him from the other duck boats? Was it just...
I'm just going to assume that I think Tommy got probably the lion's share of those kind of shots, if you will, you know? So I'm sure other guys saw him on different...
It's like when the Patriots.com staff boat rolled by, they weren't getting the same...
I don't think so.
Like, oh, my God, it's Paul Perilla! Eric Scalvino! Fred Kirsch! Oh, my God! Woo!
I think it's safe to say that's probably what was the case.
I read your point counterpoint this week!
What a conundrum. Which side to pick?
Yeah, so that's what it's like to be on a duck boat.
It's pretty awesome. It is pretty awesome. And I will say this. The 35,000 people that showed up for the rally, the send-off was incredible. And can I just make this one quick point?
Of course.
I like to tell this story, and it's fascinating to me. When I got drafted in 1995, we got to talk about, before the day's up, my draft class, 1995. It's an interesting draft class. When I got drafted in 1995, this was clearly far and away a Red Sox town. And it wasn't even close, you guys. It was the first time, 1995, that they hosted at Foxborough Stadium a Monday Night Football game because of all the issues they'd have in the stands. I mean, the team wasn't, you know, that good for after they went to the Super Bowl, in 85? Anyway, now it is like a complete reversal. It is like the Patriots are by far number one, and it seems like the Red Sox are kind of a distant second. It's amazing the sports landscape, how it's flipped up on its head from the time I got drafted to the time I'm here doing radio with you.
Were you guys even two in 95?
No, I think we were dead last.
Really?
If I had to guess, my feeling was that I felt like the Celtics and the Bruins got more shine and more love. Now, don't kid, you know, Parcells and Drew brought some life to this.
And they make the playoffs the year before you were drafted?
They did. Okay. And they did. So to be fair, they were starting to percolate something here, right? Because I think they lost to the Cleveland Browns to Bill Belichick in the playoffs. So it was just kind of starting to get some fervor over this team. But, I mean, obviously it was a pimple on the butt compared to what we have now. I'm just saying it was amazing how, I mean, it was fit. It was Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox, Pedro. Great matchups against the Yankees. I mean, unbelievable, rivalry there. And we were, definitely three or four down the rung. And now I'd come back to see my kids the last 7 years, or 8 years when I was been in Houston, and I would just be like, oh my gosh, the programming dedicated to the Patriots, TV, you guys are talking. I was shocked. So I'd come back here early this past summer before I moved back.
Hardy and I were talking casino blitzes all summer.
We were talking. You know what you.
Same thing.
I missed that show, but you were talking Malcolm Butler being benched.
Yep.
In July. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just shocked me with the Red Sox playing as well as they were. So it's just, I find that piece of it fascinating, how the sports landscape has completely turned around from, you know, all these, let's face it, the Celtics, you know, they had dynasties. I mean, it's unbelievable the success they've had. The Bruins, historically great. And the Red Sox, not so much, but everybody was all in on the Red Sox. Man, all those teams, everybody still loves those teams. And they're great organizations, but clearly far and away the number one team in this town, and it's not even close. I don't even think it's debatable. It's the Patriots.
And the city went almost 100 whole days without a championship between the Red Sox and the Patriots. 617-779-0985. I do want to get back into Hardy's lead takeaway. The game itself. Do you guys like the game last night? The championship was great. No one's complaining about the Super Bowl. No one's complaining about the result. How about the process to get there? It was a bit of a tough watch. Hardy's got all the latest in-hub headlines. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.